I do deeply appreciate Brother Dub McClish and his directing of this school and work of Brother Harry and Brother Miller in their overseeing this congregation, its work, and the church here at Pearl Street in Denton. And deeply appreciate the assignment that was given me. It was a challenging, provocative study of God's Word concerning angels. You'll notice in the book, just angels of God, no references. I'm sure there was a special reason for that. If the references in the book of Revelation had been given in that, it would have taken up a considerable space of the page to give just the references of angels in the book of Revelation. There is much said about angels. They play an important part in the dealing of God with man from the early days of man's history. From the cherubim that kept the way of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden to the final chapter of the Revelation. Angels, angels, angels. Yet, as Brother Dub has already suggested to you, there has been very little writing, not only among our own brethren, but by many others, very little compared to the amount of writing that has been done concerning other subjects. And so we realize that we do have a challenge here. And as I enter in with you to think about this, we find that there are some things we need to consider to lead us into the subject, to realize that we are going to be considering what God has said. For quite some period of time, many of us have tenaciously held to the fact that the Scriptures are able to make the man of God complete unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And that within the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, within His revelation, everything that pertains unto life and godliness is to be found. That we don't need to go out of the knowledge of our Lord in order to find the things that pertain to life and godliness. We find, too, that because of this we are instructed and urged that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And beloved, we dare not go beyond that which is written. We're warned against it in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And we are told that if we go beyond the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have God, do not have Christ or God, in 2 John verses 9 through 11. These principles do apply to the work of angels. They do apply to the work of angels because angels pertain unto life and godliness. The writer of the Hebrew letter tells us in Hebrews, the first chapter and the 14th verse, that they are ministering spirits sent forth to do service on the behalf of them that shall be heirs of salvation. Realizing then that angels minister for God on the behalf of the heirs of salvation, they certainly pertain to life and godliness. And I am convinced that there is enough scholarship behind our major translations of the Word of the Living God that we can go to these major translations and find everything that we need to know about how angels pertain unto life and godliness. We can find God's message concerning every vital subject in the Word of the Living God. I salute brethren who have made in-depth studies from Hebrew and Greek and bring to us knowledge that helps us in a greater understanding and a deeper understanding of many of the subjects of the Scripture. And yet I am also convinced that we can learn all that God would have us to know concerning our salvation and our service unto Him through those major translations of the Scripture. Though we shall be making some reference to outside material, our main concern shall be, what do the Scriptures say? What does the Word of God say about this subject? Much speculation. Many untruths have been taught concerning angels. Dr. Edersheim, in Appendix 13 to his second volume on Life and Times of Jesus, contends expertly that Jesus' concept of angels did not come from the Jewish rabbinical sources, and shows that much of the teaching of the rabbis about angels was little more than witchcraft and sorcery. The word angel, according to most biblical encyclopedias and word studies, means messenger. Another says, generally it unmistakably means personalities of the unseen world. We shall pursue this subject according to the suggestion that Dove made in his introductory letters to us, that it deal primarily as presented in Revelation, but also using other scripture as needed and desired. Discuss such things as archangels, the origin and nature of angels, the work of angels. Are there personal guardian angels and so forth? Beginning back with the origin of angels, in Psalms 148 and verse 2 we read, "Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host." And then in verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." Colossians 1:16 declares, "For in Him were all things created, in heaven and upon earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him," including, mind you, angels. Angels were created beings. "He maketh His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire," from Hebrews 1 and verse 7. He may use them in many forms as we go through our study today. Further, concerning the nature of angel, as we've already seen, angels are to serve for the sake of them that are to be heirs of salvation. Their service of God for such leads us to the conclusion that their appearance or what they look like may be most anything that God may choose at any given time. because they appear under many different forms in the Scripture. Most of all, of course, they appear as men. Did not the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 and verse 2 give us the admonition, "Forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware"? Often we find references to angel of the Lord, and other times simply to an angel or angels. And in the case of angel of the Lord, it appears that the Lord Himself is often personified as an angel to deliver a message to a servant of His. When God spake to Moses out of the burning bush, it is first represented that an angel spoke to him. Later on, we find the appearance of God Himself speaking unto Moses. We blend the ideas together in our presentation this morning that we might see some of the things in the Scripture. We can only stir up your curiosity, stir up your interest in this very vital subject, a subject that has been neglected many, many times. I know I have neglected it. And I'm sure other preachers would admit that they have neglected the study of this very vital subject. It must be vital since God has said so much about it. Since you can't study the Scriptures without running across the word or a reference to angels, you can't go but a very few verses without coming across some reference to angels. From the cherubim with a flaming sword keeping the way of the tree of life, Genesis the 3rd chapter and verse 24, the three men appearing to Abram in the plains of Mamre, Genesis 18, in the flame of fire out of the midst of the unconsumed bush in Exodus 3 and verse 2, with the host of horses and chariots of fire in 2 Kings 6, 16 through 18, or as beings or men in dazzling white apparel in Matthew 28, 3, Luke 2, 9, and Acts 1:10. Just a few of very minor touching upon different appearances of angels in the service of God concerning men. Nature of angels is also seen in that they are immortal beings. Of those in the resurrection, it is said in Luke 20 and verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. They cannot die, they are like angels. They're equal unto the angels, immortal beings. The sons of God being sons of the resurrection. They were considered exceptionally wise. For we find people who thought of those that were especially wise comparing them to angels, as for instance to David in 2 Samuel 14 and 17 and verse 20, and also in chapter 19 and verse 27. But their knowledge is limited by God. They do not know when Christ is coming again. They were considered beings of great strength. In Psalms 103 and verse 20, we read, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength." So David declared that angels are beings of great strength. the sexless beings. For we find, as Jesus pointed out to the Sadducees in Matthew 22 and verse 30, that in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. This has received a recent reference in another speech just a while ago. They are emotional beings. As we read in Luke 15 and verse 10, that there is great joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Great joy in the presence of the angels of God. It appears that the angels to whom the seven epistles in Revelation were addressed were personification of the churches themselves, or certainly very explicit representatives of the churches themselves. Because as we read these epistles to the seven churches, we find that each one of these epistles is addressed to the angel of that particular church. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, and in Smyrna, and in Pergamum, and in Thyatira, in Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. In verses 1, 8, 12, and 18 of chapter 2, and in verses 1, 7, and 14 of chapter 3. But also at the conclusion of each one of these epistles, the statement is made, "He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Notice, to the angel of the church in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea, but let each one of these hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Angel and churches are used synonymously, it seems there, doesn't it? The address is to the angel, but the Spirit says, hear what is said to the churches. So, whether they be personification of the churches themselves, or whether they be close representatives of the churches themselves, we find the Spirit says that we ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As we go on in our study of this very vital subject, we look at the matter of archangels. Only two angels are named in the Scripture, Gabriel and Michael, the archangel. Gabriel interpreted Daniel's vision in Daniel 8 chapter, verses 16 through 27, and revealed the 70 weeks under the coming of the Messiah in Daniel 9, verses 21 through 27, and announced the birth of John the Baptist in Luke 1, verses 18 through 11, Luke 1, verses 11 through 22. And announced the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. He is said to stand in the presence of God in Luke 1, verse 19. Michael, the archangel, is pictured as one of the chief princes helping Daniel and standing with him. And Daniel 10, verses 13 and 21. He is seen in Revelation 12, beginning with verse 7, waging war, he and his angels, with the dragon and his angels, and overcoming. And in Jude, verse 9, as having been in contention with the devil over the body of Moses. The Lord is shown at the time of the resurrection and final judgment as coming with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 16. And thus we see the scripture revealing to us not a tremendous amount concerning the archangel and the prince of angels, but nonetheless sufficient for us to grasp their important place in the scheme of God. When we look more particularly at the work of angels, we get into the passage from Psalms 103 again where the writer says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Angels are special creatures of God for excelling in strength and excelling in the praise of God, doing God's will. And I'd like for you to keep that in mind, that they are agents of God in the doing of the will of God. In the behalf, mind you, of those who shall be heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. Much help comes to us from studying angels in the book of Revelation itself. I have discovered at least 85 verses in Revelation that either have the word angel in them once or more, or else have reference by a personal pronoun to angels. An angel is an agent of the Lord in Revelation. We find angels involved in the revelation of Jesus Christ itself, this book of Revelation, which God gave him to show unto his servants, even the things which must shortly come to pass. And he said it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Likewise in Revelation 22, verses 6 and 8 and 16. The revelation, the book of Revelation itself, is shown to be an instrument from the hand of an angel to the servant John by the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels were involved in the giving of the law of Moses, as Stephen referred to this when he was speaking unto the Jews, the unbelieving Jews that received the law as it was ordained, or Moses as he received the law ordained by angels. The Jews had received it and kept it not. In Galatians, the third chapter, again, Paul refers to the law as having been ordained through angels. We see two angels as messengers of God to reveal his word, his will, in the time of the patriarchs before the giving of the law of Moses. When Hagar fled from the face of Sarah, the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness and instructed her to return to her mistress and submit to her, told her about the son that she would bear, and that his name would be Ishmael, and that he would be a wild man, and every man's hand against him, and his hand against every man. The Arabs of today, descendants of Ishmael, bear out that prophecy of long, long ago. The three angels who appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre brought to him a message from God. Yes, a message concerning his son, a message concerning the promises that had been given message concerning the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, as we read concerning these things in the 18th chapter of Genesis and in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. The angel with whom Jacob wrestled on his return from Padan Aram blessed Jacob in changing his name to Israel and the blessings that went with that change of name. Also, we find in the days before God's revelation was completed, both in the closing days of the Old Covenant and in the early days of the New Covenant, that angels ministered in revelation to God's servants, some of whom were to be active in recording the New Covenant. The angel Gabriel revealed to Mary the nature and meaning of her pregnancy, and that she should conceive in her womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, and that he would be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David. Luke 1, verses 31 and 32. The angel of the Lord gave commandment to Philip to go toward the south and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same as desert. There he found the Ethiopian eunuch reading the scripture of Isaiah the prophet and preached Christ to him. The eunuch believed and obeyed, becoming an heir of salvation. We observe that the angel ministered in bringing together a gospel preacher and a conscientious searcher of the truth and for the truth. An angel of God ministered in bringing Cornelius, a devout man, one who feared God, one who was benevolent and praying, into contact with Peter, that he might hear the word of God, and that he might believe it, and that he might become an heir of salvation, as we read in Acts 10 and in Acts 11. An angel of God, whom Paul served, made note to him that he and the ones with him on the ship, victimized by storms, would not perish, but safely reach land, and Paul would stand before Caesar in Acts 27, verses 23 through 26. These examples and many others show the ministration of angels in the revelation to God's servants for the benefit of the heirs of salvation. Now that we have the completed revelation, the faith has once for all been delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. Miraculous knowledge has been done away, as Paul said it would, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Yet, we are not sure, but what yet there may be angels in the background ministering to bring together conscientious, devoted men seeking the way of God, not yet having found it, that they might come into contact with a preacher of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and thus become heirs of salvation. This, of course, is certainly something that we do not know much about, but as it is indicated, that angels are to be servants in behalf of the heirs of salvation. Angels are an innumerable host set for the praise of God. In the Revelation, Revelation 5 and 11, I saw and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creature and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So angels are an innumerable host set for the praise of God. Even as the writer of the Hebrew letter says in Hebrews 12, verse 22, we are coming to Mount Zion under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable host of angels. Jesus spake of his ability to beseech the Father, and the Father would send more than 12 legions of angels to help him. Of course, we know that he rejected that choice. He did not call for them to come. Great multitude of angels involved in the praise of God and His Son. Don't have time to go into this as much maybe as we might like, because there are other things that we need to bring up, but refer to it in Revelation 5 and verse 12, and Revelation 7 and verses 11 and 12, and Revelation 16, 5 and 6, declaring the holiness and the righteousness and the glory and majesty of God and of the Lamb. So they were certainly involved greatly in the praise of God. Angels were involved and will be involved in the execution of the wrath of God. Very strong function of angels, as we find Revelation in the Scripture. And here again, because of time element, we need to observe only that they are involved in this. In the seven trumpets, or the angels with the seven trumpets, you notice that in each case, it is an angel that sounded. And when the angel sounded, God's wrath is poured out upon the enemies of God in bringing that to effect. And not only that, but also in the matter of judgment itself, that the Lord shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And when He comes and sits upon the throne of His glory, He will come with the angels. And He will come with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Thus we know that in the final judgment, the angels will be present and will be involved in the execution of the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. The victory of God is certainly declared, and we observe has been that way, was that way in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, against the Assyrians in Elisha's day in 2 Kings 19 and verse 35. They are portrayed in this respect also as reapers in Revelation 14 verses 15. And following in Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42, and Matthew 16 and verse 27, and their connection with the judgment is pointed out in Matthew 25, 31, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Angels certainly, and I cannot avoid taking the time to bring to your attention that the care and concern of angels for the people of God is manifested throughout the Scripture. The revelation brings it to us when the angels are involved in sealing the people of God before the execution of wrath upon the disobedient. And we find that same function expressed in Ezekiel 9 and verse 4 and verse 6. Protective care of angels over God's people in many, many instances. Yet many will think, well, now that can't be, because they think that the protection would mean their complete deliverance from death. But we know that that is not the meaning of the protective care of angels, because of the fact, as we think of Abel and Jeremiah and Paul and James and others in the Scripture, and refer you to references in the manuscript in the book. But as we go on, I want to bring this series of lessons to a close by thinking with you just very briefly about guardian angels. Matthew 18 and verse 10, we find the statement, "See that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." I do not know that this implies a special individual assigned angel to each person, but the protective, loving care of all of God's angels are seen manifested in behalf of the children of God. He who comes in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, He who comes to the church of the living God also comes to the innumerable host of angels. Have you observed? And we can look to God for His concern and care. Now then, that we might be sure that we are not missing something concerning the service of angels, let us realize that there are some limitations upon the work of angels and their protection and their care of God's people that we must be aware of. No angel functioning in the capacity of which we have made reference will in any way do his work so as to declare void God being a respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. So is declared repeatedly in the Scripture. So no angel will function as one ministering in behalf of the heirs of salvation in such a way as to nullify that idea that God is no respecter of persons. Read Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. No angel from God in this work will act in any way as to contradict the free agency of man. Man is to hear the gospel and believe the gospel and obey. He that believeth and he that is baptized shall be saved, as we find in Mark 16, 16. No angel serving God in behalf of the heirs of salvation will act in any way as to declare void God's revelation. Keep it in mind. Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you have received, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So no angel will ever function in service to those that shall be heirs of salvation in such a way as to void the revealed will of the Almighty God. We find likewise that no angel serving in this way will assure man of his salvation apart from faith in and obedience to the Word of God. And you know that's the way most people use angels. They use angels. They say, I saw an angel. Angel told me I was a child of God. Angel told me I was saved. Oh, I have not obeyed the gospel, but angel told me. But no angel's going to function in that way to make void the word of the living God. We plead with you to think about this very vital subject. Study it very carefully. There is much said about angels in the Word of God.